Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Russ, K5TUX, and you are listening to episode number 133 at long last.
Yay!
Of Linux in the Ham Shack.
We're back.
We are back. Indeed, we are. And we have the usual, or the sort of latter day usual cast of characters. Myself, we have Pete, VE2XPL,
up in Hello.
Canada. How's Pete?
Yep, still up here. It's getting cold. Fall is around the corner. No, actually, fall's here. It's getting cold. The leaves are turning colors. They're falling off the trees. Doing what they're supposed to do, I guess, this time of year.
Yeah, it's getting cold down here as well, although it was beautiful today. So.
Yeah, it was nice. Well, actually, it rained here.
yeah, okay. So we also have Cheryl, who is here as well. Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy. The difference between the A and the A. Howdy.
Howdy is a Midwest term, I think.
Midwest, South, Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say, or maybe I just grabbed that from Richard somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Don't grab anything of Richard's. You don't know what you're going to, you know, wind up with for the rest of your life.
Right, exactly.
All right, so we are back. It's been almost, no, I think it's been more than 3 months. It's been a long time. Since we did an episode, I don't remember exactly when. Maybe that was something I probably should have looked up before we started doing the show. But anyway, we're back. It's October 6th, 2014.
Paste that in.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Black.
My whole point in this was
July 8th was the last episode.
Okay, yes, long time ago.
July 8th? That's not too bad.
September, October. Well, August, September, October. Oh, yeah, there's another month in there, isn't there? Yeah, so it has been just about exactly 3 months. How about that? So anyway, we should probably jump in because we have a sort of new revised format. We're going to shorten the show a bit. We're going to try and keep it to between 30 and 45 minutes. So we're not doing this hour and a half stuff anymore.
Once it was edited, it was only about 45 minutes anyway, so people won't even notice.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Apparently you didn't listen to the show.
Sure I did. I just listened and fast forward.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Gotcha.
And fast forward, it was 45 minutes.
Yes.
There you go.
Typically. So anyway, the way this is going to work now is we're going to do a few segments up front. We're going to do a ham radio segment, a Linux segment, and then a Linux in the Ham Shack segment to combine both of those things in useful ways.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's crazy talk, Russ.
I know. Like, defined segments and professionalism and a shorter show.
Did you fall on your head over the summer? What's going on?
I think I might have. You never know.
Excellent. Cool. Cheryl dropped you.
Then we're only going to do one bit of music for each episode, not two, to kind of tighten things up even further. Then we'll do our feedback, social media roundup, outro, and get the hell out of here and come back in a couple weeks and do it all again.
Yeah, well, next week's a holiday. Yeah, I was looking at the notes before thinking, hey, there's no show next week. Oh, yeah, it's the holiday. Then Russ is like, well, no, we only do the show every 2 weeks, remember, you idiot. Right.
Yeah. Slight editorialization there, because I didn't call him an idiot. Yeah.
You didn't call me an idiot.
No, I did not call you an idiot. I'll leave that up to you.
Left that there for form, for dramatic effect. I am the heir. Anyways.
All right. So anyone want to tackle this first story?
I'll go, because it's from Canada, eh?
All right. Canada guy will read Canada story.
Canada guy. That's my new name. Ham radio saves the day in the Yukon, Canada. For those of you who don't know, Yukon is a territory in northern Canada. Much colder than it is here, typically. A few meridians up. And I was just very excited to read this because I've always wanted to live in the Yukon, to tell you the truth. I moved to a little side note, as I'm really, for those of you who don't know, famous for. When I moved to the mountains in Alberta, I actually wanted to go to the Yukon because the mountains of Alberta just weren't north enough for me. Although awesome and beautiful, I always wanted to live in the Yukon. But anyways, on September 21st, 2014, Terry, VY1MAP, I love the call sign, wanted Ray. That could go many ways. Wanted Ray, VY1RF, another very cool call sign. On September 21st, Terry wanted Ray to make a phone call for him, as he was not in cell phone range. The situation was that Terry is a member of the local search and rescue team, and they were on an active search for a missing teenager. The command center they had set up was approximately 35 kilometers, maybe 27, 28 miles or so, north of Whitehorse, Yukon. Whitehorse, one of the major cities in Yukon, at a place called Lake La Berge. Or La Berge for you Yanks. The satellite phone that they were to use was not functioning, so they had no way to call for assistance, which is odd. Usually satellite phones work quite well from anywhere on the globe. I guess they must have had technical difficulties with the said satellite phone. So anyways, they couldn't call for assistance, couldn't get additional resources, they couldn't send status reports. And being in mountainous terrain, RF-based radios only have limited range due to mountains being in the way. So you can be very close to someone, but just having a big mountain in front of you will prevent you from communicating by two-way radio sometimes. But fear not. Terry, being a ham, went out to his vehicle, made contact with Whitehorse via 2-meter amateur radio with VY1RF and VY1RM, Ron McFadden. They were able to pass important traffic. Traffic in ham radio lingo is information or a message. They were able to pass important traffic to and from the command center, and the missing young man was found, and all ended well. So for those of you who want to read the full story, you could read that on the Southgate Amateur Radio News feed, and the link will be in the show notes. So a good day for ham radio in Yukon, Canada, not that long ago, just this past September. And it can be pretty scary being stuck in the mountains. First of all, you're at altitude, so the weather can change in a heartbeat. And being in the Yukon at this time of year, it's already cold, so you don't want to be stuck out there.
There's been a lot of stories I've seen lately about how ham radio has come to the rescue, and we've sort of beat that nail many times with our hammer of podcasting about the efficacy of emergency communications and ham radio. And it's just one little teeny facet of the hobby, but it's a very important one. So
yeah, and it's okay to beat the dead horse on this one, to flog the dead horse, because it's the kind of story that brings amateur radio to the forefront and shows the importance of it. And it has repercussions on quote-unquote normal people who don't have ham radio. So I'm sure this young man, who may or may not have been a ham, they don't mention, most likely was not, because if he was a ham, he probably would have had his ham radio with him out in the wilderness being lost. But I'm sure this young man was very happy to hear that a two-way radio saved his life, potentially.
I imagine so. I imagine he was just happy to see somebody after the...
Yeah, well, first of all, for sure. So anyways, yeah, Southgate, the amateur radio organization, a good source of amateur radio news for those of you who care to check them out.
Very good. And there's also another piece of important news in the ham radio world, and that is House Resolution 4969. In the House of Representatives, it's being worked on by many groups, including the ARRL, because it is known as the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2014.
Parity or parity?
Parity. Parity. Yes. No parity here, because it's actually a rather important bill. It directs the Federal Communications Commission to amend regulations concerning the height and dimensions of station antenna structures to prohibit a private land use restriction from applying to amateur service communications if the restriction precludes such communications or does not constitute the minimum practicable. Well, that's a weird word, practicable, restriction to such communications to accomplish the legitimate purpose of the private entity seeking to enforce such restrictions. So basically, if you want to read this bill, we will have the link to it in the show notes. The upshot is that the ARRL is trying to get this passed to prevent CCRs and housing regulations and other codes of building, conduct to prevent amateur radio operators to put up antennas, which prevent them from doing the things that are required in the amateur radio service. And apparently they're getting quite a bit of help with this. According to the article that I read, there were 17 sponsors of the bill when they started, and they're now up to 47.
Wow. Not
so
bad.
Apparently this is going well. If you are at all political and involved in the political system and have access to, of course, everybody has access to their, you know, representatives. But if you are so inclined to contact your representative, you should definitely push that they get behind HR 4969. So that ludicrous, you know, CCRs and other housing regulations don't prevent amateur radio operators from these important emergency communications operations that they need to perform.
Yeah, and in this day and age, it's even more important because, you know, every corner that you turn, they're tearing down a beautiful building and putting up condos or housing developments. And all these new developments all have hellish CCRs, which I don't know why anyone, and Richard used to say this all the time, you know, I don't know why anyone would put up with this, because if you are a ham radio operator, you have to get really, really creative. I mean, I've heard of, and there are ways to get creative, don't get me wrong. If you are in a place that has very strict CCRs, there's lots of ways to put up an antenna without people even knowing that you have an antenna. But that being said, there's no substitute for height. So if you want to put up a tower and you can't, having a nice high antenna in an emergency scenario is just ideal. So in this day and age, there's just condos everywhere and you can't do anything. So it's the same thing up here, the debate, even just in regular communities, you know, nice new neighborhoods and stuff. They don't want people putting up towers that are higher than, I think here we're allowed, if I'm not mistaken, 40 feet with an 8-foot pole, which would limit your tower to 48 feet, which is, you know, reasonable. But a lot of new developments will give you a really hard time, and people have to go to our national entity and to Radio Amateurs of Canada, and they have to fight it out, and it's just, it's really hellish. It's a shame. It's a shame.
It is a shame. I think most housing regulations are ludicrous as they are, but this is actually preventing a public service from the ability to be performed, and it really needs to be dealt with properly. I mean, I understand that people don't like to look at, you know, gaudy, atrocious antennas, but unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of the beast. And, you know, without getting too ridiculous, I think it needs to be modified so that people can put up antennas where they need to be put up.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's our ham radio segment for this week. And this is the Linux segment. Moving on quickly as we go.
Hurry.
Yes. So anyway, I had one... There, I'm going to try and limit these to like one or two topics each time, just so we don't have a whole bunch of information that everyone's going to forget. I mean, we do have the show notes, which is helpful, but I think having one or two good solid nuggets of information is important. And I think they'll be more rememberable that way, or memorable
we should
that
have
way.
A fashion segment, since you just said the word nugget, and it reminds me of cake.
Well, we're probably going to have a recipe segment. We just need to get Cheryl
to do
it.
No. Cake the band. You know, fashion nugget?
I do.
Not cake the cake.
Yeah. Well, there's been talk of a recipe segment, too. So we can talk about cake as well. So.
Excellent.
But there is one very important thing that has popped up in the Linux world lately, and that is the shell shock vulnerability in Bash. Now, if you know anything about Linux, you know that the born-again shell is used on pretty much every system anywhere. And so the fact that there is a vulnerability in it has far-reaching repercussions, far-reaching even further than the Heartbleed worm, which is something that propped up, 3-4 months ago, something like that. Shellshock is a vulnerability which allows attackers to insert arbitrary code into Bash shell execution. Now, you may think, well, you have to have shell access in order for this to be a problem, but there are many ways to get shell access, and they can be exploited through things like Apache web servers that have CGI enabled. And Apache web servers, as many people know, are facing the public. They're out there on the internet. So if they're not secured and they are linked to a Bash shell that has this vulnerability, your system can be compromised. It also affects DHCP clients, open SSH servers that have a specific capability called force command enabled, and any other network exposed services with bash on the back end, which is lots of them. So this is very bad, and it allows an attacker to execute arbitrary code, which means anything at all. So compromising a system in this way can allow them to set it up as a bot, allow them to gain access to all of your important and perhaps sensitive files, or just wipe out your system entirely. So if you have a Linux system, you need to make sure that you're protected from this. Everybody has released patches for it, so you just have to update to the latest version of Bash. There is a specific test you can execute in a Bash shell to determine if your system is vulnerable. The text of that script will be in the show notes. You can, of course, just look up Shell Shock and Bash on Google, and you'll find it if you want to get to it before the show notes are posted here. There are many bug reports about this. Just Google for Shell Shock. If you run a Linux system, whether for work or personally, you need to be aware of this if you aren't already, and you need to patch your Bash shell immediately, pretty much. I thought that was very important. It was the biggest piece of news, and I didn't want to sort of sully that with any other Linux information on this particular episode, but just remember, if you use Linux, use Bash, patch your system, do it now. Pause the show, go fix your Linux box, then come back and listen to the rest of the episode.
I guess with Linux becoming more and more used, I guess, more popular, we might be more vulnerable to such bugs, you know. I never used to hear about them, and now you hear about them once in a while.
Yeah, you do. I mean, there have always been vulnerabilities. They're just few and far between. But the problem with the vulnerabilities for Linux is when they are vulnerabilities, they are massive ones. I mean, they're huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How does that happen? I mean, you know, the guy forget the biggest line in the in while he was coding. It's like, well, just not worry about this.
Yeah, there's a later. There's
I'm
a comment.
Go for cake.
Yeah, cake, definitely. Let's just, forget Shell Shock. Let's just eat cake.
No. Yeah.
Or listen to cake, one or the other.
I don't know. It's just weird.
There's a point in the chat room from Rick T who says that if you are building Bash from source, which, yes, there are those of you out here there who do that, you need to make sure you download the patches and rebuild your bashes. If you're using a package manager, of course, most people
good
have
point.
Already updated those packages, so you just need to do your apt-get update or your yum update or whatever. But yes, if you're building from source, make sure you rebuild with the patch. Very important. All right, so moving on to the Linux in the hand.
Wait, I have a little quick note here that I just found, which I thought was really cool, and I have to mention.
Okay.
Hamburg could be the next major city after Munich to ditch Windows and Microsoft products. So I was not aware, first of all, that Munich did that. But Munich, a little while ago, made the move to Linux, and Hamburg could be next. So way to go, Germany. I'm a big fan.
Well, Germany is the where they developed SUSE, of course, and they gained a lot of traction in the education community and then spilled over into governments. And so Germany has sort of a head start in switching over for Microsoft products. So that's very cool to hear.
Yeah, yeah. So just wanted to mention that real quick for those of you who thought that the last story was a little too geeky.
Geeky maybe, important, very.
Important, yes. I do not undermine the importantedness.
Importantedness, yes, excellent.
Excellent.
Now we make up words.
Yeah, that's part of the new format too.
All right, so moving into segment three, the Linux in the Ham Shack segment, we're going to talk about a couple of logging applications. I looked at the handy dandy Australian Linux site that contains like every ham radio for Linux package ever released.
I know. Isn't that a cool site?
It is a very cool site. In there were a couple of updates to some ham radio logging applications, very recent updates. The first one I saw was XHamlog, which is a GTK-based, X-Windows-based logging application for Linux, native, of course. So I went and checked it out. There is no packaging for it for the various operating systems. So if you want to check it out for yourself, you have to download and build it. It requires GTK. It also requires Ghost Script. So you want to make sure you have both of those things before you try and build it. When you do build it, you will get a GTK-based application. It's rather primitive looking, and it's actually rather primitive in function, but it does work as a logger, so there you go. However, I did note a couple of problems with it. I will read the little description here from the website. The website, by the way, is www.qsl.net/5b4az. That's 5 Bravo 4 Alpha Zulu. XHamLog is a GTK plus QSO logging application for ham radio. In its current form, it is not fully featured and has no user manual. These are both true. XHamLog has built-in CAT control for the Yaesu FT847 and 857 receivers. It can read QSO data like frequency, mode, strength, and enter the log record that information. It can log QSOs in a text file as well as in ADIF format. It can import log files produced by XPSK31 and XFHEL. Those are two applications also written by 5B4AZ. And it can also produce QSL cards in a printable PostScript file. Those are in A4 format, by the way, which is not American. So if you want letter format, you will have to resize or whatever.
It's not American.
It is not American. A4 is not used in America.
Well, it's not American. Then what is it? Is it Canadian or Dutch?
I'm not sure. I know it's used in a lot of European countries. I don't know how widespread A4 is, but it's not U.S. letter. And I even forget the dimensions of A4. Someone in the chat room will, of course, pop up and say, it's this.
8.5 by 11.
Yeah, it's not 8.5 by 11. All right. Anyway, version 0.9 of XHamLog was released on September 11, 2014. We are not going to go into a discussion of 9/11. It was written by Nicholas Kyriatsis, 5 Bravo 4 Alpha Zulu. I already gave you the URL, and here's what I will say about it. I downloaded it. I got it to build. It built fine. After trying to figure out how to install the XLog or XHamLog RC file that it was looking for, which, by the way, goes in XHamLog/XHamLog RC relative to your home directory. Once you get that set up and working, the application will start, and you can't log anything. So it is completely broken, and I hope that Nicholas will get to work on this. It doesn't say it's beta or anything like that. It's 0.9, so it's not a full 1.0 release, but you would think it would actually work, at least partially, and it does not. Here is a little push, a shove in the direction of Nicholas saying, get it to work, do something with it. Because I wasted like an hour trying to futz with it. On to logging applications that do work. 2 days ago, on October 4th, 2 days ago as of the recording of this show, CQR log version 1.8.2 was released, and there's a whole mess of new features in CQR log 1.8.2. And I'm not going
to. CQR log is awesome.
It is awesome.
It's simple and it works. I recommend it to everybody.
And we as a podcast recommend it to everybody because it is awesome. It does everything. It is actively developed. And we even had Peter on the show. Therefore,
yes,
it is awesome and you should go get it.
And I'm not saying it's awesome because Peter was on the show. It's really an awesome program.
It is.
And Peter's an awesome guy.
It is. And he is. Very true. Peter Hlocek, OK2, CQR, Oscar Kilo 2, Charlie Quebec Romeo.
And he has a cool accent.
Yes, he does. Do you remember what?
It doesn't do contests, though. Harrison mentions it doesn't do contests, which is true.
That's true.
But if you're just looking for a regular logger, which every other logger on the planet seems to be for contests, so it's nice to have one that's just for regular folks.
I mean, you could use it for contesting, but it's not designed for contesting. You can find it at www.cqrlog.com. Very easy to remember. And if you need a logger that's native to Linux, CQRlog is the one you should use without question. So go get it. I'm not going to go through the, you can go to that cqrlog.com website and you can see all of the new stuff. I mean, this is an upgrade from 1.8.1 to 1.8.2. This is a sub point release, and there's like more than a dozen updates to it. So that is active development, and you definitely should check it out.
Rick T, who mentions that A4 is European, And it's close to 8.5 by 11 for those who are interested.
I knew it was close to 8.5 by 11, but I know it's not exactly, because I think it's actually measured in millimeters. So, of course, yeah, it's not going to be exact.
Right. If it is European. In LibreOffice, A4 is listed as 8.27 inches wide by 11.69 inches high.
There you go.
Right. So it's some even number of millimeters, I'm sure, which, of course, roughly equivalent to U.S. letter, which means it will print on a U.S. letter piece of paper. It'll just be slightly different aspect. Obviously not enough to worry about.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't worry about it exactly.
Yep. Harrison says it's 21 centimeters by 29.7 centimeters. So why they have to pick odd numbers in the metric system as well? I mean, what the hell is up with that?
Yeah. That's not precise enough.
Yeah, I know. Why can't it be like 20 centimeters by 30 centimeters? Why make it some weird-ass combination of numbers? Yeah.
Just because they can.
Yep. All right, so that's that. Well, guess what? We're done with the first part of the show. We're into music already. Wow, things are moving along quick. It's awesome. Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for coming back and listening to the show. It's really nice to see people in the chat room for the live show and hanging out and talking. Yeah, it's very cool. And actually, here, what the hell? Let's talk about who's in the chat room. I don't know how many of these people are actually there, but we have Babylon Lurker, B. Finch, EI7IG, and I know John is not there because it's very late for him. He's over in the UK. We have Hard Olaf, who I know is not in there. He is one of the developers of Bedrock Linux, which is a topic we are going to revisit at some point because they are making great progress with that project. There's also Jay Lindsay, KD7JWC, Mintcast Rob, who is probably asleep right now, Rick T, Symbola, Harrison, Victor Echo 3, Whiskey Golf Hotel, Tim.
All right, another Canadian, eh?
Yeah. We also have WA0EIR, that's Ted, and you and me. Excellent. Oh, and Cheryl. Cheryl just popped in. She wanted to be mentioned, so she just came into the chat room. So. All right.
But no, Cheryl has been having problems with XChat tonight, so she's actually going to the website right now.
Ah, I see. Well, anyway, thanks everybody for popping in. We're going to do some music, and the music for tonight's episode is by I'm not sure if it's a group or a woman, but anyway, the name is Mirva, M-I-R-V-A. The song is called This Is How We Stand. The album this comes from is One, O-N-E. I found this on Jamendo. The track information will, of course, be in the show notes. She or they are Australian, and this is very new music. This album was released on September 23rd of 2014. So, and it's not going to like blow your doors out. It's not metal. That should be good news for everybody.
All right, so ears won't bleed tonight.
That's right. No bleeding ears tonight. So anyway, this is actually a really good track and I hope you all enjoy it. This is How We Stand by Mirva.
This is how we stand.
And it's short, too.
Yeah, too short, actually. I kind of wish that song was about a minute and a half longer. It's very good.
I don't.
You don't? You didn't like it?
I'm just kidding. That was all right. It's kind of put me to sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
But that being said, I did a little bit of searching on Mirva, since we didn't know if it was a person or a band. And Mirva is a girl. She's a one woman. She's an artist. She's one person. That being said, she's a Swedish born singer songwriter. Her name is Madeline Valen. And she's actually very popular in Australia, it seems. The song One, the title track from the album, was used as the official song for Save the Children Australia's Mum Helping Mums campaign, which is pretty cool. And she's living in Sydney now. She's very active in a lot of peace organizations around the world. And she's a goodwill ambassador for Global March for Peace and Unity. So good on you, Mirva. I think that's very cool. She's very pretty, too. Very nice-looking woman.
Well, I didn't get any of that information when I looked it up. I just found the music and thought it was enjoyable. So I'm glad we got all the backstory on that, because that's very cool.
Yeah, well, the Middle Tennessee Music Association says that she's got total mastery over those pipes. I don't know what pipes they're talking about, but that could go a lot of ways. Most of them wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, Mirva, This Is How We Stand. I actually enjoyed the track a whole lot, even though it's not my sort of usual kind of music selection. But
yeah, no, it was pretty. Very on her website, it says that she's a singer, songwriter, author, and spiritualist. So you can kind of hear the, you know, spiritual penchant in her music.
There you go, throwing French into the whole thing.
Penchant, then.
Yeah, I know, penchant. I get it. All right. Okay, well, here's the thing about the next part of the show, and that would normally be announcements and feedback. We don't really have any announcements because we're sort of back from a long vacation.
We're back. That's an announcement. Yeah, we're back.
Yes, we're back. Yay. If you haven't figured that out by now, you probably didn't need to get this far to be told again. We did have some feedback, but unfortunately, I just didn't have time to get around to it. We've got some voicemail. We had some things that I actually want to bring up. But I'm going to push that back to the next episode, and I will make sure that everybody who sent feedback over the 3-month hiatus will be mentioned during that time. Some of the stuff is still plenty relevant, so it's not time sensitive in any way. So everybody will
feedback show.
That's right,
an all feedback all the time show.
Well, it'll probably be a feedback show and an interview show, because we do have one interview left to do.
Excellent, cool.
So that's probably going to be next time around. So we're going to skip that. So we'll move on to something that just popped up in the Etherpad, and that's Cheryl's Recipe Corner. See, I thought I
didn't see that before. Like, where did that come from?
Gee, I wonder where that came from.
Too.
Russ kept telling me, no, you're going to do a recipe segment. I was like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. And Ben Sharam was like, yes, you are. I was like, all right. So obviously people want that. But actually, Russ and I went to Nashville 2.5 weeks ago, and we ate at a restaurant called The Family Wash. And they had Gorgonzola kettle chips. Yeah, it's in an old laundromat. That's the cool part of this.
That's good.
But I cleared that up. One of the appetizers they had was Gorgonzola kettle chips. And as we were eating them, I said, I can make these. So we came home. I made them. And they got eaten before I finished up the video. So this last weekend, we remade them and used feta in them.
Oh.
Russ did a video.
Oh, my God. That must be so good. I love feta. It's like my favorite cheese.
Well, you need to watch the video then, because they are pretty amazing.
I'm going to go make some.
Okay. You go make some.
I'll be back.
It's on YouTube. There
he is. Yes, Russ. Yes, go to the website.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's on Cheryl's channel. We posted it over there.
And you're drinking. Come on. You're drinking?
Yeah.
It better be iced tea.
It's not iced tea.
Well, it's a Long Island iced tea.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Definitely go out and check that out. It's a fun recipe. It's really easy to make. It's inexpensive. And it's, it takes almost no time at all. And it's way better than just dunking your hand in a bag of chips. So,
and you're making it in a little tiny oven too, which is cool, so you don't have to fire up the amazing big oven. Oh, and we see the lovely Cheryl in there too.
Yep, Cheryl features prominently. It was her idea, so she gets the spotlight.
Aw, thanks. Yeah, actually, a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, I asked my friends if anybody would be interested in cooking videos, because I just finished up my second Wilton cake decorating class, and I had mentioned during the class about some shortcuts I had figured out, and everybody in the class, which one of the people that was in the class with me was a friend from high school. And she's like, yes, yes, I definitely want to see videos. So I thought, well, if they want to see cake videos, what about other stuff? So everybody was gangbusters about that on Facebook. So I said this would be my first video. Screwed up the first one. Russ said, no, we'll do the second one together. And we did.
Right. Excellent. So we actually have six segments. The fifth segment will be Cheryl's Recipe Corner. And there you go. There's the first installment. And like I said, the link to the video will, of course, be in the show notes, so you can check that out. Because it's one of those YouTube videos, which is, you don't want me to try and read it. But anyway, you can also check out Cheryl's channel, just in general, over on YouTube. Look up Miss Blue Cows, MissBlueCows, and you will find it there.
And it's true to form. It's a real cooking video because he's drinking.
That's right. Just like the best of them. Julia Child, the Galloping Gourmet, all the ones who, you know, died of liver cancer. Yep. Those are the ones. So.
Yep. Excellent. As all right. You should.
And Cheryl, you're up again.
Everything tastes better when you're drinking.
That's right. And it's kind of drinking food. It's like a snack. It's like for game time, or, you know.
It's good on a poker night to impress your friends.
Absolutely.
Before you take all their money.
I'm going to have to play one of our music selections will have to be The Gambler's Prayer. That's a great song. It's a Jonathan Coulton song. It is Creative Commons, and it's all about taking your friend's money.
So, oh, cool. Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
So we'll do that maybe next time. But right now, Cheryl has a very, very long list of people to mention who have joined us in one way or another here on the show. So settle in, folks. Here we go.
All right. I'm just going to apologize ahead of time for any name massacres that I do, because there's some I know I'm not going to get right. But we will start out now with donations and subscriptions. And on the monthly list, we have Scott Pettigrew, Jeremy Hall, Bill Arcand, Steve Conklin, Bill Hyatt. Those are all monthly. And for yearly, we had Kyle Computers, Donald Glover, Mike Connolly, and Daryl Owen, and Shane Ball. And then Brady Christensen gave us a donation.
Now, before you move on, I just want to say that there were four other people who canceled donations to our show. Boo to you. And if you want to get mentioned on the show as being donators to the program, all you have to do is subscribe again, and we will be happy to mention you. But
maybe they just forgot because we were gone for so long. So
no, I think they probably did it just because they were wondering if we would ever do a show again. So I do understand. I completely understand. But, you know, if you should decide that it's worthy of a donation again, since we're actually here doing another show, we will by all means mention you, because you guys are awesome.
But we won't if you stop paying.
That's right. So fear not. Well, I mean, that's one of the perks.
Not bastards.
It's one of the perks of giving us $2 a month. You actually get your name mentioned. So, but anyway, there we go. So yes, thank you to all of our donations and donators. And we have lots more to go. So Cheryl, back to you.
All right. Facebook was Marcus Lundblad, Cameron Conover, John Malone, Kevin Holian Borgnes,
Batman.
I'm sure that was nice. Probably massacred horribly. Peter Grace, Ben Williams, Raymond Weiss-Chorky, Bane Kostick, Marcus Lundblad.
Again, Marcus Lundblad got in there twice. Hey, congratulations to you, Marcus.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I missed that. Taju Partak Ferreira, I'm guessing. Samantha Lee and Patty A. Puzrezica Jones. Okay. Google Plus was Brandon Beeler, Derek Hotson, Nestor Manuel Anton Garcia, Dan McIntyre, Netrunner Steam Guy, Jack Trace, Chuck Chivers, Joaquim Arre, Shane Ball, Graham Pearson, WC2FD, Tony Langer, Judy Letestack, and Edgar Davila, or Davila. And the Twitter list is huge. So, starting out with KOLAF_1, that may be K0, not sure. PY4VTL, VE3QJ, Radio W4MMA, JTrip, KleeWikWick59, Rysanen TD, NW4G, Radio Dude, Mike Law Media, Smiley JVC, John Wag, Tux Farmer, KE9WE, Ham Radio Vin, EA5OL, K6FCC, AB4WS_WX, K1AHB, Cody J. Huey, Zombie Riot, John M0HEM, MO Mog Actually, excuse me, G.S. Pearson, Flying Pig Bakery, Peter 64, Joaquim Arre, I'm probably masquerading that name, AB9GN, D01SIL, E, Parse, K4EX, Harry Tenmark, MI0LJM, Tweak Doc, Tayagi Babu, W8EEO1, Burka A. Jones, KD8ZEF, N1MXJ, Andrew Pounce, Mark_Rainer, Ides_Arlen, MRTREV, SynthCo7, Old Grumpy 2000, Wubik, and MW0UAA. Again, sorry for any massacres.
Hey, Pete, you're like making a lot of noise over there. Now you should be muted.
Sorry. I thought I was. My God. I wasn't swear at calling you guys assholes. I apologize, guys.
That's all right.
And to the mailing list, we had Dieter Van Steenwagen, OE1RSA, and WE8IT. To YouTube, we had N2HTT, VE3VSA, Lord Drakenblut, Santiago Vila, Anders Olsen, GN4179, Irving Johnson III, Jared Simpson, DJ Boo 557, and me, because I kept forgetting to subscribe to the channel.
Hey, we didn't have any merch sales, so that is finally through that gigantic ass list of people. But thanks to everyone who subscribed, liked us on Facebook, signed up on Twitter, the mailing list, joined our YouTube channel, or donated. You know,
yeah,
just
thanks, guys. That's awesome.
Became a part of the show in some way, other than just, you know, being a listener, which is okay too. We love listeners.
We need listeners.
That's right. Listeners are why we do this whole thing. And with that, we have come to the end of Linux in the Ham Shack number 133. So thanks everybody for tuning in again. It's good to be back. We will be doing our show as we have always done every other week for the foreseeable future. We will, of course, be recording on Monday nights now. At 8 o'clock p.m. Mention. So
don't look for us Tuesdays. Monday actually works better, I find, because Monday is just one of those blah nights when there's not, you know, after the weekend, everybody's kind of got the Monday blues at work. Nobody really wants to do anything. So it's a great night to kind of hunker down and listen to some podcasts, or, you know, live or deferred.
Yep, absolutely. I think it'll work out better.
Cheryl, who completely forgot about tonight.
That's okay.
Well, that's because we haven't been around for a couple of months, and that's kind of normal. I almost forgot, too.
The bad thing is, Russ said something to me about this, I believe, yesterday, about don't forget about tomorrow. I was like, okay, whatever.
That's all right. We'll be back into the swing of it soon enough. So Thanks everybody for listening. I'm gonna like turn up the little volume here on the outro so we can do the outro thing, and I guess we'll see you all in a couple of weeks. I think I've been messing with the outro, so I'm going to go ahead and do it this week because it's probably screwed. And then it will be professional and everything next time around. So here we go, I think. Anyway, this is Linux in the Ham Shack. I'm Russ, K5TUX. This has been episode number 133. Please check out our website, www.lhspodcast.info. All of the information you really ever needed to know about the show is on there, including our IRC channel, links to the streaming live show, how you can sign up for the various things, including Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and how you can donate to the program. We appreciate each and every one of you. You can also become an ambassador. You can represent Linux in the Ham Shack at one of your favorite local events, whether it be Linux or ham radio based. We'd love to have you there. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can do that at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Our email address is info@lhspodcast.info. Subscribe to the mailing list, and the link to that, as I've already said, is on the website. If you want to buy some show merchandise and help us out that way, you can do it at cafepress.com/LHS podcast or printfection.com/LHS podcast. There's also a sponsored ads link on the right-hand side of the website. If you click on that, we get a few cents here and there, and all you have to do is click on the link. No out-of-pocket expense whatsoever. So do it if you get a chance to visit LHSpodcast.info. We will be recording every other Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, Central in the U.S. That'd be Tuesday morning, 0200 Zulu time. Our recording schedule and countdown timer is, as you might have guessed, on the website. So thanks everybody who's listening now, who will listen in the future, and who has listened in the past. We really appreciate each and every one of you. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks for episode number 134 of Linux in the Ham Shack. So for Pete... Pete.
Good night.
Good night. And Cheryl.
Good night.
This is Russ, K5TUX. We'll see you in a couple weeks' time. Have a great one, everybody. Damn it.
I Badger.
Set up bad. All right, I'll fix the end later.
Yeah, that's easy to fix.
Yeah, I can fix that later. Because I was going to do the Adam Curry thing at the end, and then I screwed up. Maybe that's why he thinks the podcast actually sucks. Because
maybe. But let's not worry about that.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to their podcast in forever.
Yeah, nor have I. Don't have time. Or inclination.
Yeah, there you go.
You're too busy bowling.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
Yeah, I saw your new balls.
Yeah, I've got three big new balls.
They're awesome. I've never had my own balls.
That's what your problem is.
Balls, I guess.